This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, Randall, you were in the middle of mentioning, of course, Paul Kingsbury, who really participated in a great episode of the show. Go ahead.
Right, and he's from this scientific coalition for ufology, or I guess in this case, unexplained aerial phenomena. So there are people who are making an attempt. He's one that's doing a pretty good job so far.
Okay, but SCU was started, what, within the last 2 or 3 years?
They're fairly new, yeah.
Yeah. And they're a bunch of really old guys, and I think they're almost all white old guys. And I don't see that. It doesn't look to me like this is going to be a viable organization long term. I hope I'm wrong. But we see these organizations pop up. Let's see if it has any legs. I'm quite skeptical.
Of course, we are all old white guys here.
Yes.
Just saying.
But we are not. There is no real. And that's very much a membership, a volunteer organization. It has very limited funding. It is not institutionalized to any great degree at all. If you look historically, these things don't last. And if they do, like MUFON, they are quite disreputable.
Okay, MUFON, let's just mention that. We've talked about MUFON, plus, minus, pro-con. You call them disreputable. Is that because they're trying to get too much involved in selling UFOs with different events that bring in people who are willing to pay and fill the seats?
Well, that's part of it. They're also very racist at the very top of the organization. Anyone who followed the John Ventry scandal should realize that. Ventry is still organizing UFO conferences, MUFON conferences.
I thought he kind of faded out here after
he posted
stuff on Facebook.
No, he is still active, and he is still organizing conferences in Pennsylvania. His name does not appear, but his logo does, and he is involved. I know people who have taken part in those conferences and report, yes, Ventry is very much involved.
Well, okay. Let's talk more about how it should be done, because you, according to your bio here, you participated in Psi research at laboratories in Princeton and New Jersey. So, you know, how should we be going about doing this?
I'm not giving any recommendations on that. I'm just saying what is. The fact that you do not see this effectively in the academic world or in the scientific world is a trickster phenomenon. It is marginalized. I am not giving recommendations on how to undertake that. You know, I've got ideas myself, but that would be far, far too involved to present in any kind of program like this. Overall, these phenomena still remain highly disrespected. They are looked upon as a joke, and it remains that way. And the people who are involved and who are front and center, TTS, AAS, are pretty much carrying on that tradition.
Is it a function of an organization like that to draw people's attention away from something else?
Well, that may be the effective function. I don't know what their intent is myself, and I don't know if anyone knows that for sure.
We don't know what the something else is, of course. We can only speculate.
Yeah, it is run essentially by the intelligence community, and it's very difficult to know what their agendas are, and I suspect there are many, or several at least, agendas with that.
Isn't it worth a little speculation here? I mean, why would intelligence agencies want to focus people's attention on investigating UFOs with the assumption that's E.T., that E.T. is responsible, because that's the general opinion? Why would they do that? You said you had some ideas. How about mentioning a few?
Okay, well, I'm a big fan of James Carrion. And Carrion pointed out that earlier on, some of the UFO stuff was used to break Russian code. Now, no one would come up with that idea in speculation. So I think speculation is not too useful here. You have to look at the overall properties or the overall characteristics of the phenomena. One is ambiguity, deception, and unreliability, etc. I think it's probably useless to speculate about what they are intending to do, because I don't think anyone would have suggested that the UFOs were used to break Russian code. Carrion's work is very, very important, and it is largely ignored within the UFO community.
When he came out with the Rosetta Deception about the ghost rockets in World War II.
Yes.
I mean, it was heavily disputed by people, and they would cite chapter and verse. Maybe he got a few details wrong. He finally decided to just give the book away, a free download, which is very interesting. Then there was a book that he was coming out with, The Roswell Deception, and I haven't heard from Carrion since. He was on the Paracast, and we were going to talk about the other book, but unfortunately, it never came to be. Have you been in touch with him?
I have not, unfortunately. I don't think I've even ever met him or even spoken with him. But his work is very important.
It's interesting that you should mention this Russian connection, because not long ago we had Nick Redfern on. Of course, I'm sure you know him. And he did do some Freedom of Information digging around and came up with some connections between ufology culture and the Cold War, where Russia and the United States did use ufology as sort of a staging ground for their spy versus spy shenanigans. So there's probably some truth in that.
I don't doubt that at all. I suspect that would be an ideal venue for spycraft.
Well, certainly UFOs could be used as an excuse to hide information about secret weapons, about aircraft tests. Oh, it's just a flying saucer. Let's create a few false flying saucer sightings, because then most people will say, oh, just lights in the sky. Who cares? They'll take the pictures. And what might be happening beneath the surface, we don't know about.
Yeah, there's a lot of other agendas I could suggest as well.
Sure.
Just the nature of the groups make them very useful in that area. The nature of the groups are liminal. They mix lots of different kinds of people. Doors are open to people in certain ways that would not otherwise be when you enter into these areas. So I suspect the intelligence community understands that very well. Again, these are abstract qualities. If you start thinking too concretely, you won't see the patterns.
What about the case where maybe, you know, it was sort of sticking on the theme of the spy versus spy thing? Like we've had John Alexander on, and he talks about how it could be used in PSYOPs operations. And then we touch on sort of the things like sort of the Skinwalker Ranch, where maybe, you know, this is just a theory that people have thrown out there, that really maybe they're using this as a staging ground for some of their PSYOPs stuff because of all the weird stuff that goes on there that's very tricksterish-like.
Could be. I don't know enough about the NIDS and Bigelow research out there. But there are lots of things that they could be used for. But I do take the phenomena quite seriously, and there certainly are other accounts in other cultures of things rather like this.
And segueing back to the To the Stars Academy, let's remember that former Senator Reid, when he was the Senate Majority Leader, he got this funding, and the funding was funneled to one of his supporters and friends, Bob Bigelow. Of course, therefore, it's being buried. What is Bob Bigelow up to? We never know, because he keeps it to himself, except admitting on 60 Minutes that he believes there are aliens out there, but of course he won't be specific about what might be going on. I mean, this is an interesting kind of speculation as to why this would happen. Why give this guy money? He's a rich guy. $22 million to a Bob Bigelow is like if I gave you a dime. You know, maybe, you know, I mean, it's nothing to him. So what was the purpose of this investigation? Why couldn't he do it himself and finance it himself? Why did that need to happen? What a strange group of questions. George Hansen, opening lots of frontiers here for further exploration. with Gene Steinberg. J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I threw in the speculation about Bob Bigelow and this Pentagon UFO study and giving Bob Bigelow at least some or all of this $22 million, and that doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
I don't think it's unreasonable to give Bigelow that kind of money. He had had a long-term interest. He had run and funded NIDS for quite some number of years. If I was in the government and wanted to look for an outside contractor to do some research, I think Bigelow would be one of the very top people I'd consider.
But is he doing UFO research or is he doing something else?
Well, he may be doing a variety of things. The defense contractors do a whole bunch of different things. And I would certainly think Bigelow would merit serious consideration. He certainly had contacts at very high levels in the scientific community that were involved in these types of areas. So it makes perfect sense to go to Bigelow. He would probably be one of the top people. Now, he certainly wasn't the first. James S. McDonnell Douglas Aircraft also was a very big funder in this area and had a very long-term interest in the UFO and the psychic areas. So this is no big surprise that someone in the aerospace industry would be involved in this.
But, you know, it seems that they're not immune from the whole phenomena either. You know, because with even all of their money and resources, they still haven't got it figured out either.
They may have some data that's useful, but yes, this is an ongoing area of research, and yes, mistakes will be made. There will be false leads and the like, but at least they are doing something, and, you know, I'm not really a critic of what Bigelow has done. I do wish it was more open, but given the nature of the phenomena, I can understand why he might hold it quite close to his chest. But I do think open research would be a better way to go.
Oh, yeah, no question. But that gets pretty difficult. I guess that kind of begs the question, too. Like, do you think anybody really knows what's really going on? Like, we can assume, like, as you suggest, that, well, with all of their resources, there's got to be departments in the military with all of their detection and so on, where they have more data points than us. But do you think they've really got an answer? Like, they could say, oh, yes, definitively, they're interstellar. They come from, star system, whatever the case may be.
No, I don't think so. I think the nature of these phenomena are inherently disruptive to bureaucratic organizations and to ordinary rational ways of thinking. I think these phenomena are highly subversive to that. They may realize that the phenomena are quite dangerous to cultural organization and societal structure, but they don't really know how to handle it very well. I think these phenomena have far deeper implications and effects than most people who are dealing with them tend to realize.
How so?
Well, give you an example. When the Berlin Wall fell and the collapse of communism happened all over Eastern Europe, there was a huge upsurge of interest in the paranormal, and many more paranormal phenomena were reported. When you see outbursts of the phenomena and extraordinary levels of popular interest, you see some type of cultural shift. You saw that in the 60s and 70s with the Vietnam War protests, Watergate. There was a distrust of the ordinary structures of society, the government and the like. And you saw kind of a change in values. Society was a little bit not so stable anymore. I think we're going through a period like that right now. And I think perhaps the UFO phenomena and this interest in the phenomena is some type of symptom. And I've got a number of, you know, I go into this at length in some of my lectures. But I think that what we're seeing is some kind of cultural shift. You've got high degrees of political polarization. You've got high degrees of dissatisfaction. And if you look at the academic work on postmodern theory and cultural change, I think something is happening that we don't really understand. I don't think it's an accident that we're seeing this upsurge in the publications on and popular interest in the UFO phenomena. These things have cultural influences that act on an unconscious level. And I don't believe that the government agencies are fully in a position to understand that. Maybe they are with big data and social forecasting. Perhaps they've come across something, but I'm a little skeptical of that, but it could happen. I don't think looking at these phenomena from like a nuts and bolts or where they're from is likely to be productive. I think these phenomena emerge from unconscious processes of society, and I don't think most sociologists or anthropologists or other social sciences have any clue of that at all.
So the fact that we have a third of the people in this country believing that they're aliens, most UFO researchers, so-called, are looking for spaceships. So aren't we kind of oddballs here?
I don't know that that's true. I think that there are many more people who take an interdimensional view. I think if you look at the major organizations like MUFON and maybe QFOS and the old organizations, the old white guys still look for nuts and bolts craft. Most people that attend the local meetings are much more interested in psychic phenomena and talking to spirits and talking to aliens and the like. I think you've got an elite that's out of touch, just like in this country. I think the elite or the top people in ufology are completely out of touch with the experiences and the interest of most people who follow these phenomena.
There you go again. We have the phenomena mirroring the worldview of the experiencer.
I don't think so.
So if it's old white guys, if it's old white guys, they see silver metallic discs. If it's the younger generation, they see something from another potential parallel universe. If it's a psychic person, they consider it as some sort of psychic manifestation.
No, if you look at the organizations, though, the structure of the organization, if you look at where you've got a hierarchical structure, say MUFON, for instance, with their various levels of membership and state directors and the like, you see a particularly mechanistic, materialistic type of explanation generally being proposed.
Right, yeah, they're spaceship people, nuts and bolts people for the most part.
Yeah.
Of course, they're hanging out the flags for E.T., like in the movie Independence Day, when the spaceships were overhead planning the attack. There were people on the top of buildings saying, boy, you know, maybe they'll bring back Elvis or something. You know, people were looking at it in a way, this is a party. This is fun. We're going to have E.T. come down here, and they're going to show us good stuff. And it's going to be like Klaatu in the day the Earth stood still. Of course, we forgot about Gort, the robot. Anyway, George, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Some of the 2020 presidential candidates are campaigning in Des Moines, Iowa, greeting supporters at the annual Polk County Democrats Steak Fry. The organizers of the event say they will be grilling 10,000 steaks and 1,000 vegan burgers. Now, this all comes after earlier this week at a CNN climate change town hall, many of those same Democratic candidates were lecturing folks about eating less meat. The U.S. signed an agreement on Friday that sends illegal aliens seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico southern border to El Salvador. Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan tells Fox News,
"We're going to continue to do what this administration has been doing, working with the government of Mexico, working with the Northern Triangle countries to build their capacity to address this as a regional crisis, and we're going to continue to build that wall. Every mile of wall that's built, the agents are safer, they can do their job better, and this country is safer."
This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let me throw another issue out with regard to UFOs, probably not connected to many of us, but some people feel it is George Hansen. Abductions. What's your take on it?
I take abductions very, very seriously. I've known at least scores of abductees. These phenomena have very profound impacts on people's personal lives and their relationships. They strike me as having some parallels with shamanic experiences. So I take those phenomena quite seriously. They don't fit too well in some types of paradigms, but if we ignore these, I think we're missing quite an important aspect of the phenomena.
Right, but there's also a paranoid aspect to this, and you know the people we're talking about. They suggest that millions of people have been quote-unquote abducted. They are physical beings from other worlds doing this for reasons best known to themselves. One person that we can name or not name believes they're creating a race of hybrids for a silent takeover, which to me is the stuff of a really nice sci-fi movie, although I think they've covered that already. So we have that group of people. It's physical. There, we got to cope with it. And then we have people like our friend Red Pill Junkie, who writes that near-death experiences and abductions, they share characteristics, many.
Well, they do. There's no question about that. Now, are they fully physical? I'm not sure what the word physical means in this case, but I don't conceptualize them as nuts and bolts craft with flesh and blood type of aliens coming down. I think there is some other aspect of reality that we do not really comprehend. That's what much of my work is about. And that is called a liminal realm. I can't go into that at this point. I usually use a lot of diagrams to explain that. But there are qualities of this middle realm between the physical and the mental, or the subjective and objective. And these qualities have been understood by earlier civilizations and earlier peoples, but we have largely lost that. That's always been viewed as a dangerous area. It's been surrounded by taboos and rituals. We poo-poo rituals. We denigrate them. We don't think they're serious. Actually, they are very important. We have lost that. This middle realm where this ambiguity lies has always been taken care of by a special class of people, the shamans, the priests, and the like. That is outside of our worldview now, and I think we are suffering the consequences of ignoring that. That is the trickster's realm. Again, this is not something that is comprehended by most people, but if you look at earlier cultures and their myths and their rituals, there's anthropological theory that addresses this very effectively. People today have largely ignored that, especially in the academic world.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a real strong movement towards a humanist view. But there's also a lot of strong support for religion. And when you get into their mythology, forgive me for calling it that, I think it may have some grains of truth that in terms of the political and climate of the times and some of the geography and characters in history that we're aware of. But when we get talking about an alternative realm, a different place, another level of existence where people can go after this particular existence or before or where other gods exist, there's a lot of people that still believe that. And when we get talking about some place in between, like liminal, well, we've got this whole concept of purgatory. It's not this world, it's not heaven, it's some other place in between.
People don't really take it seriously. They may give it lip service, they may discuss it, but they don't really take it seriously and investigate it because there are taboos around it, and they know that. And they know that it's dangerous. And so serious discussion of this is largely shoved aside. And you can see this over and over and over again. This is a realm of magic. Pure magic is very, very terrifying for most people.
Is there an in? I mean, okay, on this show, well, you know, we invite guests like yourself to come on and talk about it. And so I guess maybe we might be considered kind of a portal for people to start investigating. But where would people look to try and get a grip on this then, if they want to take it seriously?
Well, there's a whole lot of ways. You start looking at the experiences and the theoretical work on spirit communication with spirits and communications with aliens. And you have to start looking at some of the better and more abstract anthropological work. This is almost completely ignored today. The best work, even in academe, has largely been shoved aside. But there is work out there. If you go into that and you start investigating it, you will be thrown out of the academic world. Actual research, going out, meeting the people, trying to experience this and understanding this will make you an outcast, whether you're in the corporate world or if you're in the academic world.
Well, I have talked to a couple of people.
These things are prohibited.
Like, the people that do seem to be accepted, like I had mentioned Paul Kingsbury, and he's...
Okay, what's he published? I'm not familiar with his work. And
right, he's
published
working...
books, he's published articles. Has he been a member of any UFO organizations, and for how long?
Well, he is part of this Scientific Coalition for Ufology that I mentioned. He's working with a grant right now as part of... from his institution to study the cultural aspects of these beliefs. So where I was going with that is that him and a couple of others that I've met have, or at least connected with, when they look at it from an academic perspective, they're sort of taking themselves outside of the the ketchup bottle, so to speak, and looking at it in an objective way and saying, well, this is what these people believe over here, and this is how they tend to relate to it, rather than becoming members of the initiates themselves, so to speak. Which I think is a really good way to look at it. No,
I totally disagree. That's the old-fashioned way of doing it. They are likely to make no progress.
Okay.
No, if they are not participating in it, they will not understand it.
Well, like
absolutely.
He goes out.
This is a blind alley. This has been shown over and over. People have taken that approach for many, many decades, and they come up with nothing.
Right. Well, I mean, he goes out on and does investigations with people in the field.
Does he live with the people? Does he live with the people? Does he eat with the people? Does he hang out with them? Does he know their kids? Does he have dinner with them? Is he part of that culture? Is he doing real ethnography where he becomes part of that group?
Jeez.
Or is he standing aside? You say he's standing aside.
Well, to some extent. I mean, from our interview, he does participate in it to some extent. But
to what extent, though? Most academics don't really get involved. I know a few who have, and they've paid a really serious price.
Yes, but actually, nobody would dispute that. I mean, look what happened to John Mack, even. And we're talking about, you know, who he was.
And you look at John Mack, and he totally lost total critical judgment. He was unable to function rationally. He believed that Donna Bassett sat on the lap of Nikita Khrushchev on board a flying saucer during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He put that in print.
And yeah, you know, at some point it seems that they jump the shark. I mean, he seems to be very believable and credible and well-credentialed, and until there's a line that he crossed where even people in the field went,
that's the danger. That's exactly the danger I'm talking about. And this happens over and over and over again. And researchers don't seem to get that.
I want to ask you about that. We have one more segment left, and I want to ask you about that because it just really caught my interest. George Hansen presenting live interesting ideas for you folks to consider with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, RockoidsRockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want
want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, this is really fascinating here. You're saying scientists who like take it seriously, get involved, and things happen. Now, what's happening to them? It affects their reputations. Oh, gee, he's just some kind of propeller head or something, or is it something deeper?
Well, if in the case of John Mack, it really affected him mentally. I mean, would you trust him as a therapist? Absolutely not. I mean, he totally lost critical judgment.
Is that a point of mental illness, being inundated with this? Is that what we have to expect?
I think that is a danger. I think it's certainly a destabilizing. I'm not sure I would label it an illness. I'm not a therapist. I'm not qualified to make that judgment. But it's certainly he lost ability to conceptualize rationally. Now, that may be useful at times, but in his position, I think that's kind of a dangerous state to be in. And I think this happens more and more frequent. And in fact, if you look historically, people who have high status like John Mack are more vulnerable. They are more vulnerable to be taken in and be deceived by these treacherous phenomena.
And
that's
the
a risk.
Farther they have to fall, too, it seems like.
Yeah.
This brings up a really interesting point. Maybe the most common ground we could look at would be there's this element of stabilization in the world. And then there's this element of destabilization. And the destabilization side of things is if there is a balance in the universe, a yin yang, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's as if the trickster is on that side where things destabilize.
You bet. Yes.
I mean, we're getting into a little pop culture here, but and I'm not sure if you or Gene, I'm not sure if you're interested in sci-fi or not, but I know that some of our listeners out there, they have watched a series called Babylon 5. And in that series, we have these two races that represent those two actual forces being personified by two advanced alien races that sort of pull the strings behind the scenes to create a stabilization or a destabilization, depending on what they want with respect to our civilization, which to them, we're just sort of like their children or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with pop culture, and specifically I'm not familiar with Babylon 5, but it sounds intriguing, and they may be onto something. They may have some visceral sense, whoever the writers were, may have some sense that the universe is sort of built like that. Although it's not personified, it's not controlled from with material beings, these things tend to operate as though they were.
Right, yeah, they've personified these two forces, you could call them, say stabilization, destabilization, in the form of these advanced alien beings that pull the strings from behind the scenes. Now, maybe that is what's going on in some cases, but it seems like what you're saying, if I'm following you right, is that it's more like sort of a force of nature that just happens to be a part of our existence.
Yeah, I think that's one way to think about it. I think about it slightly more abstractly, but that's a way to start thinking about it, that there are these patterns that exist and that they reoccur, and you can sometimes see them coming. And you can kind of think of them as sort of a force or a pattern of nature that can build stability or quite the contrary.
Recently we had a futurist on, Christian Kroma. And he has a vision, actually. He saved his daughter's life by having a vision of how light can be used to heal, and then got all of this stuff together. And it's really quite an amazing story. But in his experience, he saw that there are these patterns in nature also that tend to repeat. He has a very positive outlook for the future when it comes to things like artificial intelligence. Whereas there's a lot of people who are really concerned that artificial intelligence could be a destabilizing factor. Any comments on that sort of thing?
I haven't thought about that enough. I'm certainly no expert in that, so it's probably best not to shoot my mouth off about something I know very little.
I do it all the time, so it's just part of the show, because we have people that are interested in so many different things that... I guess if we were to look at that and kind of boil it down to two points of view, then what we've got is we've got someone who's very optimistic about the future, who thinks that the overall pattern is towards something that is good and beneficial to human beings, as opposed to looking at this trickster side where, well, there's always something else out there that's trying to tear it down or change it or confuse us. Now, in that sci-fi series that I mentioned, there was a reason for the destabilization, and this was the darker side. They believed that it is from destabilization and suffering, and that we learned, and the strongest of us would survive and continue on. Whereas from the stabilization side, we have the academics and the learned people who build from learning truth.
Well, okay, these are very abstract ideas, but I think we have to be concerned about the well-being of people here and now, and that if there are dangers, we have to kind of mitigate those. I don't think it's advantageous to think, okay, well, let's have a lot of disorder and maybe things will turn out well. That's probably not going to work.
Right, but the trickster probably would disagree with that. He'd say, oh yeah, that's my job. That's what I'm here for. We're going to cause the destabilization, and that is what's going to push us forward or evolve us.
Well, no, I don't think that the trickster has that in mind. It's just that it's destabilizing. It's fun to stir things up. Doesn't mean that it's going to turn out well. If you look at, say, John Mack, well, I don't think that turned out very well. And if you look at some of the other ufologists, in many cases, I don't think that turned out well. You know, I have been involved in a number of ghost cases, not a lot, probably 40 or 50. I don't really know the number, but
that's quite a few.
In at least three of those cases, people later went to prison, and two of them were for murder. I think these phenomena do have some really negative downsides. And another case involved incest. And another case involved a murder at the investigation site after I was there. So, no, I don't think that these necessarily should be encouraged. I think we should be wary. People in earlier cultures understood that there were dangers, and they had to treat these phenomena very carefully.
Interesting. But do we consider them then as having an actual persona, or are they just more a matter of fact? This is what you have to look out for. Like, you can't blame lightning for being dangerous. It just does what it does.
I think that's largely the case. When a person may have some influence on the course of events in a paranormal manner, but one has to be cautious.
So there's no real intent on the part of the trickster.
There might be. You know, the trickster likes to mess up things and likes to cause chaos. You know, it's fun. I enjoy, you know, throwing a bomb once in a while. I should just stir things up and see what happens.
We have to point out here, they wouldn't let you say that in an airport. He's talking about a verbal bomb, not one of the other kinds.
Metaphorical, right. Yeah.
Metaphorically. But I'm just about out of time, George, so I wanted to ask you, where can our listeners find out more about the things you do?
Well, I've got a website that I haven't updated in many years. It's tricksterbook.com. I'm rather inactive. You know, I do lecture occasionally, and I hope to be writing more in the future, but I spend a lot of time thinking before I write. And I've got, you know, a fair amount of writing done, but that's going to be quite a while. So my presentations in local areas, I sometimes present at a place called Lilydale, which is a spiritualist camp in New York State. I lecture in New Jersey occasionally, sometimes in New York City area, but not too often. I spend a lot of time writing and thinking and talking about these things with colleagues.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for our two communities, groups, whatever, on Facebook. And, you know, be safe when you go on Facebook. We also have the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. You'll get a version of this show with enhanced audio yet. So we have this great landline connection with George Hansen, and you're going to hear it spectacularly. We're going to also give you the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. We sometimes continue interviews. Sometimes we have brand new interviews. You never know. George Hansen, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward to sometime in the future, perhaps.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.